All right, Elon Musk is saying it's time to build a fake human, a humanoid robot for, to quote, doing boring, repetitive, and dangerous work. We have Carl Brower here of iccars.com. He is an executive analyst. So I hope we got some great B-roll for this because I want to see what's going on with Elon and this new humanoid robot, or has he not really begun yet?
Well, let's hope it's a good video and nothing out of, say, a Will Smith movie in iRobot, right? You know, I find it funny that one of the descriptions he's got of this robot, which apparently he's calling Optimus, it's 5'8", so it's not, you know, unusually large. And he specifically mentions that it's meant to be designed so that humans can overpower it or run away from it. So this actually kind of connects well with past statements we've heard Elon make where he was concerned about, you know, robots making robots and, you know, kind of a Terminator future and stuff. So I find it, you know, interesting how he's trying to execute this very advanced computing capabilities, which is smart because we know that's where the world's going and he wants to be a part of that. But he's trying to do it in a way that doesn't scare anyone, probably mostly himself. Should be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the AI Day event, this isn't one that was necessarily geared towards investors, but Elon Musk did unveil, in addition to the humanoid robot, a new custom chip. What do you think some of the headlines coming out of the event yesterday tell you about Tesla's ambition beyond cars?
Well, he's shown that ambition where whether he's taking us to Mars or he's powering things through solar. He's very good at identifying trends that are coming. And if he feels there's a lot of certainly money to be made, but also I think world changing influence that can be done through these areas, he'll jump in there. And we know, again, that advanced computers, artificial intelligence, they're necessary for his near term goals like autonomous self-driving and the ability for the cars to learn and handle almost any situation. You really do need a lot of advanced computing power, but you also can do a lot of other things with advanced computing power. We think that, you know, everything from the power grid to medical care, obviously military operations, these things and more are going to be relying more and more on advanced computing. If he can come up with his own proprietary chips and his own processing power and it proves as good or better than anyone else's, he'll be in a pretty powerful position for a lot of the future evolution we're going to see here.
Yeah, and you talk about advanced computing. It doesn't get any more advanced maybe than a human, but second runner up has got to be autopilot. And I am shifting gears a little bit. I want to talk about that investigation that was announced Monday by the National Highway Transportation and Safety Administration into, I believe, 11 crashes, some of those with first responder vehicles. This is going to be an issue that we're going to have to deal with over the years. And because there's going to be some spectacular blowups, it's going to get a lot of headlines here. I'm just wondering, do you think Musk has gone too far, too fast here with autopilot? And what are the fallout going to be from these investigations?
Well, certainly from certain aspects, you could describe that he's talked a little more the talk than he's been able to walk the walk. You know, we were supposed to have a million robo-taxis by the end of 2020. He said that, you know, not that long ago, and we didn't quite get there. So he's got a history of, you know, somewhat over-promising and somewhat under-delivering, at least in the timing. But he is good at predicting where things are going and putting himself in a position to be there. We're in the learning curve, though, as you mentioned, for autonomous driving. We're deep in the steep part of the learning curve. And unfortunately, when you're doing that with vehicles that are on public roads, you're going to have accidents and potential fatalities. And I think the government is now investigating him because they're going to try to assess not only what's gone on in the past, but what future risk is being involved in this and whether there needs to be a more stringent rule set or guidelines that companies like Tesla and any other company have to follow before they're putting out, you know, moving vehicles of, you know, multi-ton vehicles that are not being driven by humans, or at least not being driven by humans as much as they should be.
Carl, on the EV space specifically, we have seen a number of the traditional players like a GM or a Ford accelerate their timelines for going 100% EV. And we've seen the quickness with which they've been able to adapt. And I wonder, when you think about the Tesla advantage, has your thought on that, your calculation around that shifted? Or you think Tesla is still way ahead of the pack when we think about the transition to greener technology moving forward?
Yeah, this is a great question. I love this question because it exactly targets what I have, you know, been watching over the past 12 months, which is the idea that these companies, Tesla being the most well-known example, but there's others out there, Rivian and Lucid and a lot of these other companies that are working to create really capable electric cars and this assumption that they're going to come in and start swooping market share from the traditionals. That was an easier story to buy and to visualize 12 months ago. The movement of the traditionals in the last 12 months, both the financial commitments that we've heard them make, but also the actual product development that we've seen them do, has made me think they're going to put up a much bigger fight. And I can't believe that the CEOs of these other companies aren't maybe having meetings going, this isn't going to be as easy as we thought, is it? You know, I mean, the new F-150 Lightning is hugely impressive. It's more than just an F-150 with a battery pack. It's got a lot of innovative features that Ford came out with. Just 2 days ago, I saw the new Cadillac Lyriq that's going to go on sale in Q1 next year. And it looks really impressive on every level, from styling to mileage, range, and technology. And you know, the interior looks great with this huge display that looks very attractive. So there's a lot more going on with the traditionals in the EV space than there was 12 months ago. And I think a lot more is coming a lot faster than these startups probably expected. And I think there's going to be a much bigger battle for that market share, and the traditionals are not going to give up that share easily, and it's going to be tough on the startups.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Wi-Fi Interactive here. Ford up 42% for the year, Volkswagen up 26%. Those two right here, GM 17%, Tesla down 4.2%. Now, we've seen a number of companies like Nikola, Lordstown Motors, pre-revenue companies that have just gotten absolutely demolished. I think this is what you're talking about here. Any of these smaller companies that you happen to like, maybe not pre-revenue, that you think have a chance in this space?
I think Rivian is still a pretty compelling startup. Everything from the employees that work there and the RJ Scringe, I'm trying to remember his name, but the head of that company and the kind of people he's got working there and their histories, the vehicles that we've already seen, and really just as importantly, if not more so, the partnerships he's already made. He's got investments from Ford and Amazon. I mean, these are two huge players in the market out there. And if he starts to get, you know, orders in from someone like Amazon and he starts to work collaboratively with someone like Ford, he'd have a lot of advantage over what he's already got done on his own. That's also very impressive.
Carl Brower, always good to talk to you. Executive analyst at iccars.com. Have a great weekend.